Welcome to Commissioner's Court today. If we would all stand as we open our invocation, our pledges, and if I could have a volunteer to come forward and do the invocation for us. Is there someone who would do that, please? No, the thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I will. Thank you. And we'll ask that everyone pray in your own way.
But if you would, let's have... Here we go.
Thank you, Jason. Please bow your heads with me. Lord, we come to you in praise because we always thank you for the wonderful Montgomery County that you've given us in the state of Texas to live in. We ask you, Lord, though, to continually remind us that we are to keep it. We are to be the stewards of it, Lord, the blessings that you give us. So help us to be wise, help us to be forgiving, help us to be merciful to our enemies, help us to work together for the good of our community, and bless our leaders to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Pledges?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Let the record reflect that all are present today. We have a quorum. Do I have a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda?
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. At this time, our citizens have an opportunity to come and to speak to us about topics that are on our consent agenda or on our open agenda. If it's a general topic that you want to talk about something not related to our agenda, there is an opportunity at the end of our time here today to be able to do that if you would like to do that. I want to remind you that as we're here today, that we operate on 3-minute intervals and that you'll be timed on that. So at the end of 3 minutes, if you would keep your comments within that time period. Also, if you have anything that you'd like to hand out to any of us here up on the dais, if you would ask permission before you do. So as we begin, is there anyone here who'd like to comment on anything that's on our either? Yes. And if you would tell us what that is and state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Kathy Locetta, L-O-C-E-T-T-A. I'm presenting regarding agenda item L, elections. I am here once again as a concerned citizen asking this court and the Montgomery County Election Central staff to abort the plan to use electronic voting system in November 2022, the election, and instead implement a paper ballot and hand counting system as permissible by Election Code Chapter 65. I watched this weekend the Moment of Truth Election Integrity Summit held in Missouri. This is a summary of testimony by just one of the experts at the summit. Sean Smith is a retired Air Force colonel with over 25 years active duty in space and missile operations, director and test manager for operational testing of weapons systems, U.S. Air Force Fellow to RAND Corporation with 4 years as senior military evaluator for space, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance systems under the director, operational test and evaluation, Office of Secretary of Defense, exercising oversight of test design, execution, and reporting, advising Congress and senior Department of Defense leaders on operational effectiveness and suitability of critical, complex DoD space programs. He has also been a consultant on adversarial assessment special projects for the Department of Defense. His testimony is as follows. We've been lied to about our voting systems. During wartime, supply chains are always threatened. Anyone in the military will attest to this. The supply chain is always at risk. All election equipment uses commercial off-the-shelf components, also known as COTS, C-O-T-S. Most COTS for these systems are manufactured in China by people who have been forced to swear an oath to the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. The CCP has stolen and continues to steal U.S. intellectual property and compromise industrial and government systems, including election systems, to advance the CCP military and economic power and to achieve global dominance. The electronic voting machines are a Trojan horse. A Trojan horse is a type of malware that downloads onto a computer disguised as a legitimate program. The delivery method typically permits the attacker to hide malicious code within legitimate software to try and gain users' system access with their software. You've heard it said, those who vote decide nothing. Those who count the votes decide everything. But what about those who code the vote? Before yielding my time to my husband and fellow patriot, Jola said, I ask again, rethink the way that you are going to do these elections in 2022 and use a hand-counted system. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments. All right. Is there anyone else? Yes. State your name for the record, please.
My name is Joe Locetta, L-O-C-E-T-T-A, and I'm going to follow up where Kathy left off. Foreign adversaries are attempting every day, even as I speak, to access our nation's systems, especially our election systems, at all levels, including the county level. This is a threat that will never go away. Remember the SolarWinds attack in 2020? Guess who was breached? The Departments of Agriculture, Commerce, Energy, Labor, State, Transportation, Health, and Human Services, as well as the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, and the Department of Justice and the Treasury. The National Institute of Standards and Technology, also known as the U.S. Department of Commerce, is the advisor to determine standards for voting systems. They were also hacked, and like SolarWinds, they didn't even know it for months to come. The SolarWinds attack also affected Microsoft. Almost every device we use has Microsoft software, including election systems. The tests the election machines go through for certification are inadequate. They can remove an entire motherboard and not go through the certification process again. The labs have called this a minor change. That is hardly minor. The acceptance testing is not, I repeat, is not done by cyber experts. This is unbelievable. These systems are computers. How can any of you know for certain that the hard intracivic systems that are coming online are secure? Are any of you experts, cyber experts? In cyber, the warfare is ongoing. It never stops. The machines will never be secure. The safeguards are not real. The truth is we do not have secure elections in Montgomery County, and without secure elections, we have a full republic. You should take the time to find the online archive of the August 20 through 21 Moment of Truth Summit on Rumble or RSBN, and I'll give you the links in a moment, and watch, or perhaps a member of your staff can watch, all the evidence released during this historic event. You have a legal and ethical responsibility to protect our elections. You fail in that duty if you do not take the time to hear the evidence and take appropriate action, starting with aborting the plan to use any electronic voting system in November and instead implement a paper ballot and hand counting system as permissible by Texas Election Code Chapter 6-5. So I do have a handout with the links. May I approach?
Sure. Absolutely.
I have several copies. I'll just give it to you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to make comment on anything on our consent or our open agenda? If there is none, then let's go ahead and let's move forward in our agenda. As we, yes. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Yes, please.
Did you say we have comment, something that's not on the agenda?
No.
That's right at the end of the...
It's right at the end,
okay.
Yes, thank you. All right, proclamations, resolutions, and our presentations. Item number 8, presentation of Employee of the Month. Here we go.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. How are you today?
Great. My name is Tracy Hutchison. I'm the chairman for the Employees Committee, and we are here today to present our August Employee of the Month. However, everyone is very well-deserving, but we can only choose one each month. Today, we're going to be receiving a plaque and a $25 gift certificate to Joe's Italian. So if I may have our district clerk, Melissa Miller, come up to present for us today.
All right.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
So I'm here today to present the Employee of the Month Award. First, I want to take a moment to say a few words about my team. Over the last 3 years and 8 months, we have strived to improve so many aspects of our office, one of those goals being teamwork and building up our team. As I stand here today, I believe we have achieved that very goal. We have built a team that knows and understands the importance of teamwork and one that strives to serve the citizens of Montgomery County with excellence. I am so very proud of each member of our team and want to tell them all thank you very much. Now, we are here today because one specific part of our team, I remember interviewing this person almost 8 years ago. I have watched them grow and become more and more knowledgeable and excel in teamwork. Actually, I think if you look up teamwork in the dictionary, this person's name is listed there beside it. I would like each member of my office that is here today to say one word about this team member.
Knowledgeable, polite,
humble,
professor,
sunshine,
unique,
spontaneous,
indispensable.
And now I would like to present the Montgomery County Employee of the Month Award to Patricia Borrell.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, if we get a picture real
quick. Oh, sure, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Melissa, thank you for such an enthusiastic presentation. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, so we move forward. Item number 9, our county clerk, consider and approve Commissioner of Court's minutes from our session dated August 9th. I have a motion to approve.
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Consent agenda. For those of you who have not been with us, we ask if there's any item that any of the commissioners would like to move from consent to open. I do want to make a comment about page 6 of 11K2. If you look on page 6, gentlemen, I'm not going to move it to open except just to say that I want to confirm that the appointment of Ryan Gable, this is a confirmation in conjunction with Commissioner Nowak and his appointment of Ryan Gable. So we want to make sure we include that in our minutes, that it's the commissioner's appointment. So, all right, are there any other modifications to the consent agenda?
No, sir. I move as...
All right, we have a motion to approve without any modification, except for the one adjustment. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And Commissioner Walker, you seconded that, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. All right, then let's go ahead and move to our open agenda. And let's start with emergency management. Jason Millsaps, share with us today, if you would, please.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. First, item 11A is to discuss and take appropriate action to authorize the purchase of a multi-patient transport vehicle with advanced medical monitoring and communications equipment from General Body Manufacturing, utilizing the Goodbye Cooperative Contract for an amount of $1.25 million. This is an AMBUS, essentially. I have a quick...
What's an AMBUS? Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I think they're called busculances.
Call them whatever you want to. So this is Fort Bend County's AMBUS. They range in how they're scaled up. From the inside, they can be configured to house anywhere from 18 to 21 patients at a time. They can be seated patients. They can be rested in a stretcher type configuration, three high. along the walls. These vehicles are also used for rehabilitation on large-scale events, fires, as well as they have a public health component as well. They can be used for infusions, vaccine drives, a number of things that we could use this. It's a very versatile vehicle to add to the fleet of emergency medical equipment in the county. There's three of them in the region, or four really in the region. There's Houston, Atascocita, and Fort Bend County, and then a private ambulance service, Acadian, has one which serves the Beaumont area. The point of this coming up was about 6-8 weeks ago, we had a fire in a convalescent home in Willis. I was called to the scene about 5:30 in the morning. The plan was to evacuate about 9 COVID patients, so we ordered the Atascocita ambus to make the scene, and we waited until a decision was finally made that OEM and fire could handle the situation on our own without the evacuation. And that's not the first time this has happened. So sitting there waiting for an apparatus to come from another jurisdiction really irked me, and I started looking at a way we can get one of these in the county.
Tell us about the funding on this.
So it's an ARPA-eligible expense due to it being an ambulance and emergency medical equipment. It would be staffed and housed in OEM's warehouse, the new warehouse. I've talked with the chief who's behind me here today from MCHD. They are more than willing to staff the ambulance when it gets called to service. One of their chiefs went out with us and looked at the apparatus in the shop. It'll be a brand new unit. It was originally scaled to be higher in cost, but we got a cost of economy of scale by utilizing the same drawings and schematics that Fort Bend County just used from this company. So we're not recreating the wheel, and we're able to get it at a much lower price than originally thought.
What's the delivery time?
They can have it to us by April 1st. The chassis is already in-house. They just literally have to manufacture the box to put on it, and they can have that done in about 90 days before they have to get into the communications and the technical equipment. So,
How many nurses or medical technicians have to...
Depends on its type rating.
20 people.
Yeah, depends on its type rating. It only requires one operator, so the county's got the operator side handled.
Operator means driver.
Driver, yes, sir.
Who would that be?
Between my office at OEM and the fire marshal's office, we will have a total of about 8 personnel that have the license to drive this, and they can operate it. Now, as it's typed, depending on what we're using it for, if it was sitting out at like an Ironman event and it's there as an extra in case something happens, you'd have 3 or 4 paramedics staffed with it. If it was called out to an actual mass casualty event, you would staff it with as many as we can get on it. Three to four is probably not enough. You want to go 5 or 6, and anything else you can throw at it. They have different licensing types that require the minimum standard. The hospital district, this would prevent them from having to take multiple apparatuses out of service to an event like this, so they would have the staff in short order to do it.
Would we not have more access to drivers if we worked with the sheriff's department and had we made a purchase, but this was a sheriff's vehicle instead of just OEM?
So one of the requirements of the operator is they have to be part of the medical task force. As the common denominator with OEM and the fire marshal's office, we're all EMTs or paramedics ourselves. So we can, once we're on scene operating, we are also a medical personnel that backs up the staff that comes with it.
But that doesn't mean the sheriff can't have access to it.
No, they can't have access to it, correct. Sure. You would use this, and it wouldn't just sit idle. I mean, there's thousands of reasons this would get out and be used throughout the course of the operating day, from rehab situations to large fires, large mass casualty events, drills, big events where you're going to have a lot of people. The Woodlands is host to thousands of events a year where there's tons of people. You'd want something like this close by, not having to wait on it. That's the whole point of having it. And there's a number of reasons why we would, put it out in the field for the day to be used. So,
Randy Johnson, since you're in the audience, I have a question for you. Could you come up?
Can you speak in the mic? Come here.
How long is it?
Right at 50 feet.
Yeah, you don't put just anyone in that to drive it.
No kid.
You'd introduce yourself so people know who you are.
Good morning. I'm Randy Johnson. I'm the CEO of the Montgomery County Hospital District. I also have in the audience James Campbell, who is our EMS chief.
James, you can come up too if you'd like.
So you're going to probably be called up, James.
I think that was an invitation.
I couldn't see you back there.
Yes, sir.
Since Jason mentioned that you guys would be willing to staff this when it's utilized, I would just want to confirm that, But also, I've talked with some different firefighters in the county, and I wanted to ask you guys, what happens when there's a major a fire or a mass casualty situation, mass injury situation, and we have, 10, 20 people that are hurt? How does that affect ambulance service for the rest of the county when something like that happens?
Some out of business.
It depends on the nature of the event, but anytime that there's an event that requires what we would define as a multi-casualty incident, an MCI, if we send 10 ambulances, for example, we staff 30 every day, so that's a third of our staff that's on that one incident. So then we call in neighboring agencies to bring ambulances to run 911 calls while we focus our efforts on the mutual, on the MCI.
So it's safe to say that it significantly impacts the quality of service that you're able to provide when you have a third of your ambulances.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. It does.
Wouldn't the same thing be true here if you had to have 20 patients in here and you had to pull five or six medics or whatever from an ambulance? Wouldn't you have to do
that? I'll start, create a mess, and let these two gentlemen clean it up. In all probability, if we had a mass casualty event, we would respond directly to the event the way that we do now, as Chief Campbell was saying. Depending on the size of the event, we would add more and more units. We also work with all the fire departments and their first responders, and they also work with us in the mass casualty events. And so we would actually probably respond to the event. The driver would bring the truck or the unit out to the event, and then at that point in time that we would coordinate care on scene. That would get more medics at the scene of the event quicker while we're waiting on the truck to arrive.
And that's correct. And another thing that these things get used for is in rehab mode. And we had we've had a number of big scale events recently where this would have been used. Just last Friday, we had that hazmat spill on 1314 at Old Houston Road. It was an eight-hour event on the highway. This would have, left OEM and went out there, and the hazmat team, as they rotate every 20 minutes in and out of suits, would have had a cool place to sit, have their vitals taken, hydrate, cool off before they have to go back in the field. Instead, they did their cool-off period on the hot concrete of the highway under a canopy, with little air blowing in their face. So it was longer time between rotations that we had to give them to ensure safety of the firefighters. So there's generally endless uses for this. And I think the hospital district and OEM already have this great partnership with us. And the fire marshal's office, we have first responder organization agreements with them. And so we're already set up and ready to augment them at any time. So.
Is this something that if you had the resources to buy, that you would buy for the county yourself, since you're the primary responder to these types of events?
Yes, we've looked at this, but we did not have the resources to buy it. I think this is probably a more appropriate way to go about buying it. This would have been very helpful in the freeze, whenever you have to empty a nursing home, because there'd be lots of events where it's not an emergency event, but it's an urgent event. And when you think about that, we can't really take ambulances out of service to transfer these patients. Fire departments really don't, they've got pumpers and ladder trucks, but they really don't have a way to transfer patients. During the freeze, we had a big problem there because did we take ambulances out of service to move patients who were freezing in their homes to warming shelters? I think that there's several opportunities to use this. I'll also comment, I was at the EMS annual meeting last year. There was an AMBUS that Fort Bend was working with, and they said that, I asked them, what did they use their AMBUS for mostly, and they said they used it a lot, going back to what Jason had said, whenever they have spills on the highway and it's hot, the firemen come in and they change their uniforms there, and that makes a huge difference in the ability and the amount of time that they could spend actually in the cleanup, because they're not as hot and as worn out.
What medical equipment would come with that, if any?
Say that again, Commissioner.
What medical equipment would come with that?
So it's fully stocked, and then the hospital district will assist in stocking it with all the necessary equipment and first aid
speaking devices, the microphone,
like that. But it already will include the oxygen on board, the telemetry, the EKG monitoring, all that's built into the cost of this and set up. The hospital district's IT department will get involved at that particular stage in the build to ensure it's built to the, their ambulance spec. So their, this device, this unit can talk with their system. They use a program for that. And we'll be coordinating with that. So it would be just like one of their ambulances, but on a bigger scale.
What is the annual operating cost of this?
Depends on how it's deployed. So there, it's got a fairly good warranty. It's got a 3-year warranty for the chassis and bumper to bumper. The box itself has a 10-year warranty. Any of the workmanship and craftsmanship has a 1-year warranty. They last. Now, if it's out all the time, fuel. Fuel is the cost because all of the operators in our offices are salaried. So it wouldn't cost us any personnel time.
If you respond, for instance, to help, say, I'm over in Kingwood, for instance, over right over the edge into Harris County.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in Harris County territory.
Yeah, we're providing mutual aid, yeah.
That's right, providing mutual aid. Do they reimburse you for the use of this?
Generally not in mutual aid situations. I mean, it depends on the circumstances.
When would they? When would anybody reimburse you for the use of this?
Yeah, as the chief says, Hurricane Set Track would then come in and pick up expenses if we were in a mass casualty or a mass disaster where they're directing this as an asset. During a hurricane or a freeze or an event like that, that there's a presidentially declared disaster, then we would see some reimbursement for that.
So, Jason, you said this thing could be deployed at thousands of events throughout right. Montgomery County, and you're going to tell me that your guys are going to be salaried, they're going to drive this thing, and not going to want anything else. What about these guys? You're going to have somebody in there if you park it down somewhere at an event.
So
how are you going to do that?
Yeah.
We actually staff a rapid deployment team. Every 30 days, there's three teams that rotate, and we pay those personnel costs. It's our personnel.
Are you going to pay them to come out here and sit some weekend somewhere just in case something happens?
We go to those events anyway, so it would actually give us a better footprint at the event because Ironman, we send 12 ambulances, 14 bike teams. We could limit the number of ambulances, have this there, and we could have better coverage.
I asked about that right away. Iron
and that was part of my request from manufacturing was to have it by April 1st so we could utilize it for the Ironman event. Yeah. So,
all right. Is there any other comments?
$1.2 million for the Ironman, just to have it for the Ironman?
Well, I know how much you like Ironman.
Well.
So, for instance, you asked about reimbursement. The hazmat event that I went to last Friday, there is a reimbursement element to that because the insurance company associated with the trucking company will be reimbursing both the fire marshal office and my office for things that we incurred out there in that field. This is a unit, and a unit has a standard operating cost that can be passed on as well. So there are some opportunities like that, but by and large, you're going to be on the disaster-level stuff.
I would like to ask the county attorney if he BD to come up or at least comment on ARPA eligibility if you've reviewed it.
I don't know if it's working, BD.
The short answer, I don't think we've had a chance to review it for ARPA eligibility at this point.
So I will say in the ARPA, an ambulance is an enumerated allowable expense. So this is an ambulance on a large scale. We would not be the first entity to utilize ARPA for this type of purchase. Any emergency medical equipment associated with operating an ambulance or expanding your ambulances would be allowed. Several jurisdictions are buying additional ambulances or replacing their aging fleet with ARPA use.
So we did not confirm with the county attorney or the auditor?
The auditor's not part of the committee, but the county attorney was present during the discussion of this in the presentation.
So the sheriff's office, they don't have any kind of vehicle like this. They got a
They have a command and communications unit, but it wouldn't be for patients, no.
I just think we need to wait. There's too many questions for me.
I like the idea, but I want to make sure it's ARPA eligible.
I want to make sure the
county attorney is going to sign off.
I would agree with that. These guys, Jason's pretty good on this ARPA stuff. We sent him to Washington and do the whole deal. That being said, could we do this subject? And here's the deal. If it's not payable by ARPA, then we just don't do it. But we can at least move forward here, get with BD. We'll know by the end of the day whether or not it's available, and we can move forward.
Yeah. I certainly like it. If BD's good with it, with ARPA, then...
Can we have a motion to do it subject to ARPA approval?
I'll move on that.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second? I'll second that. All right. Is any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, who's opposed?
I'm for it. I'm
okay,
good, so
all right. You're for it?
Yes.
I'm for it, you're for it. Okay, and how'd you guys vote? You're in favor of it?
I'm
okay.
Opposed.
Okay, we have one opposed. All right, motion passes. If you give a BD afterwards, let's make sure we verify that so we don't get any farther into
absolutely.
This.
No, I don't want this coming back to the county as an expense. So.
Good, thank you. Item two.
Item B is consider discuss and approve a lease with Kiefer Middle School LLC, a vacant building from New Caney Kiefer LLC for a 6-month term beginning September 1st, 2022 and ending at February 28, 2023. Authorize Jason Millsap to sign on behalf of the county. Additionally, authorize OEM to make necessary purchases and engage in rental services and all necessary training aids and supplies to facilitate the training of countywide law enforcement, fire department, EMS personnel in an amount not to exceed $550,000, funding source to be for ARPA. What this is we've got an opportunity to utilize training aid money from ARPA for community policing, ending gun violence, and things like that to take possession of this school in New Caney that's basically vacant right now. The Sheriff's Department utilizes it from time to time now in training. They were out there yesterday with their cadet class training in this room. It's just a one-of-a-kind.
How much do they pay?
We're so far, when we use it on these one-off things, they're not charging us for it. In order to ensure that the landlord doesn't try to do something with the property during the time and use it every single day, so we can get all of law enforcement countywide, fire and EMS through these alert and AIRS classes that are for active first shooter, active shooter training. We could do it in 6 months and run this continuously. Any agency that has a group of employees that need to go through it, generally will have trainers as well. They can bring their trainers to the table, so our personnel is not getting overwhelmed with the training aspect of it. This would be. I was in the building yesterday. These pictures were from yesterday. As you can see, it's dark. Unfortunately, the copper thieves stripped the building while it was vacant of its copper, its plumbing, and its HVAC systems. So it's a completely dark, hot building. Part of the expense would be for us to bring out a portable generator and air conditioning unit to get a couple of the corridors set up for training, for classroom breaching and hallway breaching training. And they use it now because of the low light situation. Since it's dark, your SWAT team uses low light training as well. So they will still have other corridors throughout the building to do the low light simulation as well as the alert class.
SWAT using it right now, or somebody using it?
So yesterday they used it to train the new cadets that are coming out of the Sheriff's Academy. That's a requirement that the sheriff has on all their cadets as they go through this alert training while they're still a cadet. So an excellent program. It's we're one of the few counties that does it that way. And this would be one of the few counties that have a fully staffed first responder departments across the board that have gone through this as well. And so this would be a unique opportunity, and it wouldn't just be for us, but we could offer it to anyone in the region that needs to train, because at the end of the day, if we have one of these events, other entities from other areas are going to come and assist us, and they need to know how to use this training to their advantage as well. So
this is just an empty, there's no electricity,
it's right on 1485 at 59 Kiefer Middle School. It's a full-size middle school. I mean, this is the front, as you can see. This is one of the dark corridors. This is another dark corridor. The library itself.
So this is for active shooter
training. Yes. Yes, sir.
That's it.
It's all the furniture still in there, so they can fill it up with, you know, bad guys and actors to simulate whatever they need to simulate for that training, as well as being able to actually physically breach through doors and do that. It's not something we can do in a building that gets used on an everyday basis. And we have permission from the landlord to do everything but blow it up. So they said we can't blow it up, but that may come later if they go to
the lease is non-destructive use.
Yeah, non-destructive. So.
And is this ARPA-eligible, BD, Amy?
The lease, what they're saying is we've only reviewed the lease. I don't know what the lease is a total, I think, of like $138.
It's $23,000 a month. Where he's asking for us to just cover the taxes that he's having to pay on the building, since it went from a tax-exempt building when it got bought out by a developer. It's now he's taxing.
We've looked at the lease. The lease is about $138 total, and this is for $550. I don't know what we haven't been asked to opine on this.
So the remainder cost is the rental of the generator, air conditioning units, and lighting that we'll put in the building, And on top of that, we're going to have simunition rounds that'll have to be purchased to restock as we go through that. The sim rounds are a lot more expensive than regular ammunition. We have a few of these kits coming to us by way of donation from the company that does them, but to actually replace the rounds that are used during training, we'll need some funding for that. So.
All right. Is there any more discussion? Do we have a motion to approve?
I'll move.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second if the funds...
If it's ARPA eligible.
ARPA.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a motion and a second with ARPA eligibility. All in favor?
Well, we don't know what the total cost... You got $550,000. Is that...
That's... I believe we'll come in under that because it's not to exceed $550,000. It'll all depend on how much simunition rounds. Each trainer is different. Some instructors allow them to use more simunition ammunition. Some limit them. So it just depends on the basic. I know what the fixed costs are going to be. The lease and the equipment for the generators and the air conditioners, that's about $25,000 a month. So I have those fixed costs. I don't know how much simunitions will be used until they start that class.
If this is approved, I want to make sure that, for example, if Constable Gable wants to take his team over to that facility any day, there's no question he has access to it as long as it's not scheduled.
So I got called by Captain Hook from the Sheriff's Office to come take a look at the facility about a month ago, and this was their brainchild, and they said they want to be able to put everyone and anyone that needs to go through this class through this over a six-month period.
I want it to be just for that class. I want any law enforcement agency to be able to have access to that building for any sort of training.
I don't have a problem with that at all because it's door-coded. They can simply make a phone call and we can coordinate that.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
I like what you're doing.
Yeah.
About the worst thing that can happen to you is just as a piece or anybody investigating death is investigate a child death that could have been prevented by some measure. And anything that you guys are doing there, any training someone could receive to keep something happening like happened in Uvalde, we're just blessed by the hand of God that it hadn't happened here and by some great law enforcement that are being vigilant. So I think it's a good idea, and I support Commissioner Walker here. If ARPA funding's will pay for it,
Jason,
I think it's the right thing to do.
And as I understand it, this was talked about with the auditor, and he did not agree.
I have not talked to the auditor about this.
Yeah, I think he's
personally, and I am on the ARPA committee, but I was not for that meeting. I have a little bit of issue with opining on having the county attorney's office opine on most of it. The supplies piece is going to be the big thing for us and the auditor, just because that every single requisition that gets done through for supplies goes through the county auditor's office, meaning that they review every single supply. Okay.
Right.
And what we don't want to make sure is with ARPA, there are 15 different categories of expenditures, right? And so we have some expenditures, for example, that for mental health that don't apply necessarily to this same expenditure category that Jason's trying to buy this out of. So I want you guys to be like, there is a process, right?
So this would fall under the law enforcement training aid supplies that are enumerated in the ARPA law that allows for us to have training aids and supplies when we're addressing community violence, gun violence, and
there are specific things that have to be shown, an increase of gun violence and a response to that through community policing. And so we've talked about this before, and ultimately you have to decide whether we want to use these ARPA funds for that purpose.
That's how the sheriff feels about
right.
That. I think on this, I know y'all have a motion, but I would like for this to be deferred until the auditor is back, and I'd like you to bring back a list of the actual supplies, go through it with the auditor, and if they're good with it, because there's no point in signing a lease for $138,000 if we can't supply it.
I would agree.
I agree with that.
So the simunitions being the issue, I mean, I have some of that being donated from the company, so, I mean.
But just all the supplies, anything you're going to need, I would just go through that with the auditor and get it blessed by them and the county attorney and bring it back.
Well, you have a motion on the table and we have a second. You want to pull the motion down?
Yeah, I'll rescind that.
Okay, and defer it. Let's get the information and come back next time and decide what we're going to do.
That works for me.
All right, we're good? All right, thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate it so much. All right, let's move forward. Item number 12, purchasing. Gilbert? Tell us what's going on here.
We need to defer this item.
Is this the sheriff's item that
yes.
we're talking
about? Is this a defer? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Consider it deferred. All right. At this time, we're going to recess Montgomery County Commissioner and Court, convene public hearings. Amy?
Consider the proposed application for a partial replat, lots 12 and 13, Block 8, Westwood 1, to be known as First Community Credit Union Research Forest Final Replat. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to combine lots 12 and 13 to create Reserve A for commercial use. No objections or concerns have been received prior to today's public hearing. The notice was mailed to the HOA, and the plat is not ready, so today we're just conducting a public hearing. No action will be taken. Is anybody here to speak about that? Come on up.
State your name for the record, please.
Hi, my name is William Vose.
I'm sorry?
William Vose.
Okay.
And I received a letter about this plat hearing. It states that the property is within 200 foot of my home, and if I have any objections to it or anything, the property is actually within 10 feet of my house, and I don't have any objections to it. I understand it's supposed to be a bank or a savings built there or something. I'm sorry?
A credit union,
yes. But the only thing I would request is that they place some kind of a barrier or something or a wall between my property and my house, because we work very hard to keep our property value and such up, and having excessive lighting and stuff shining in our backyard from this, I think would propose a problem for myself and for future sales of our property if I decide to sell. So all I'd right. like to get a letter or something from the builder that would state that they would, in fact, go ahead and build some kind of a barrier between my property and to protect it from any additional lighting or, you know, fencing or something to protect my investment.
Can we put any kind of stipulations on a developer doing any of that type of stuff? We can certainly talk to him. But I don't know if we can make him do that.
And we're not approving anything today.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, first off, the replat's not being approved today, but no, our subdivision regulations do not provide for us to have barrier restrictions. That's generally something that the ACC and the
HOA
and the subdivision would do. So, but you know, we don't mind writing the applicant a letter and saying this was to comment at public hearing and see if they can address it.
Right, because there's got to be something against, you know, light. There's got to be some regulations against light pollution.
It really depends upon the restrictions. And I used to represent Westwood many years ago.
Yes, sir.
That's an older subdivision that's been redeveloped. So those restrictions don't have any restrictions with regard to lights, though they do have architectural control there. So you might want to talk to them.
But we can get a hold of the developer who's going to build and let him know
this is a
concern.
We'll raise the concern.
Okay.
We'll certainly contact them, tell them your concern. Hopefully they'll reach out to you.
Okay. And there's going to be another hearing on this?
There will not be another hearing. Now, once they satisfy all the requirements for the plat, it will be come back for approval, but there will
so
not be another public hearing.
It doesn't matter what I have to say about it.
Mm-hmm. No, there will be another opportunity to talk about it.
Yes, sir.
But there's not another public hearing on it. It will be on the agenda some other time, but not a formal public hearing. But you would be able to speak on it at that time.
Okay. I guess something I need to talk with my attorney and such about.
That would probably be a good idea.
All right. I will do that then.
All right. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming.
Your time.
You betcha. Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Same topic?
Same topic. Alan and Karen Laws.
Okay.
We live next door to Will and to Rose.
It's directly behind that new business that's coming up.
Yeah.
We're directly behind them.
This savings and loan or whatever it is will affect my whole property line. Okay, he mentioned his property line was touched. It's going to go the whole length of my property line, and I'm in the same boat as he is, with the taxes being nailed or put on us so hard that we need some help being able to keep our values of our homes high. They're raising my taxes right now almost $80,000, and so I got lights coming in my backyard. I understand you can't, right? You can't do this, you can't do that, but we're asking for help.
A privacy fence.
A privacy fence of some type to keep our home values where they need to be. Okay. So.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming and sharing. All right, is there anyone else? All right, if there's not, we're going to reconvene. We cannot take any action on this today. It's not ready to move forward on, so let's move on to our next item. And the next item, which is Conful Precinct 2, we're going to defer that.
Yes, we're going to defer that.
And let's move on to item number 15, Precinct 3, and Sheriff.
We're going to move this to executive session.
Executive session, and when we meet at the end in executive session? Okay. All right, Commissioners.
No question, so it will be under 071, is that right, Commissioner?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Item number 16, Commissioners, Astro Fence Company. Tell them where we're at on that.
Yeah,
Commissioner Walker.
That's at the new building we have bought that we're setting up for elections. And this amount from Astro Fence is to secure the election machines, the carts, and all inside that building. It's already been put up because there was a little bit of urgency because of the security of those units. And it looks really nice. I have pictures of it.
The fence is up already?
Yes. Yeah, the fence is up. I didn't know if we could show the photos. I had Jeff go out and take pictures.
So you don't need the $32,000 now?
No, we do need it. It's got to be paid for. This is just
Okay, now, BD, didn't we have on that transaction that they were going to give us $150,000 in improvements?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Perfect use of
okay,
it.
Okay, so it's perfect use of it. We've got the money. We could use the money for that.
But we have to expend it and then get reimbursed or credited by the...
Okay, so the funding source would be the...
So we need a funding source.
Can we pay it out of your budget for now?
Okay,
just get reimbursed. That'd be helpful.
Yeah, we can do it.
Or he is.
But the company is going to reimburse us for that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but it'd still be better if he paid it right now and we'll let him pay him.
Yeah.
We're just bunching up.
Well, it's good.
I don't mind paying for it. I just
appreciate you taking charge of this deal, buddy.
The way the tenant allowance, we pay for it, then we submit the invoices to the landlord. So they require us to pay for it before they will reimburse us or give us a credit. And this is the warehouse building that we are leasing with an option to purchase. I do expect that we'll exercise the option to purchase it. That comes up in October.
All right.
Thanks.
We have a motion to approve with Commissioner Walker funding it out of his resources to be reimbursed by the company that we're leased with an option to buy.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioner Walker, thank you very much for your generosity. We appreciate that so much. All right. Item number B.
We can defer that till after executive session. That'd be great.
All right. We'll defer that as well. Thank you. All right. Precinct 2.
Consider and discuss updating the subdivision rules and regulations and the drainage criteria manual. I've heard about this drainage criteria manual ever since I've been here, and the county engineer and the assistant county engineer have been hard at work trying to put together a plan to have our drainage criteria and our subdivision rules and regulations looked at, updated, brought into the 21st century if we could.
Mm-hmm.
Last time our drainage criteria was done was in 1984, I think, so about 32 years or longer. So it's time that we do something with the drainage criteria. So I want to...
Is there an expense to it, Commissioner?
Yes, sir, there is. It's about a $302,000 expense. It'll take about a year to get this done. I've asked, I checked with Amanda, and we've got some money in our road and bridge fund balance that I would like to pay for it out of there, since this is a road and bridge function as far as I'm concerned. So I would make the motion that we do this and pay for it out of the road and bridge fund balance. And
who's going to do the work?
Half an associates is going to do the study and the redoing the manual along with Jeff Johnson, Dan Wiles, and whoever else in the engineer's office we need to work.
Are they going to do the, are we going to rewrite the subdivision rules and requirements as well, or just the drainage criteria?
The county attorney's office have been looking into the subdivision rules and regulations.
They need to be updated as well.
Yeah, we've already started that process. In fact, I was looking at a revised draft the other day, so we've already started the process, and we're, you know, clearly on the design, drainage, those are engineers and also, but we'll look forward to any input they give us on the subdivision rules and regulations. But yes, we've got a number of changes for the subdivision rules.
But are you guys doing the changes, or is HAF going to do?
We're going to do the changes on the rules and regulations, the legal part of it. They're going to do the engineering part.
They will have to work hand in hand when it comes to the subdivision rules, drainage, the whole thing. They'll have to work together to make this happen.
Well, and with the drainage, Joe, since the majority of the woodlands in Precinct 3 has a regional drainage plan already in place, I think we need to somehow, there needs to be some coordination to make certain that all these plans
not
fit together.
I agree.
We're not duplicating.
So however we bring in, I just want to have the flexibility to talk with
half an associates here right now. Can you come up here? We can answer a couple questions for us.
And again, this is for new development.
Yeah.
The subdivision regulations.
We won't be changed. I mean, but
things that are already in place generally won't be. The rewrite of the subdivision rules regulations will apply, and the design criteria will apply to the new developments coming in.
But we wouldn't want. We don't want to have any adverse effect to different drainage requirements on
you
what
want
we already
to work
have.
Together.
Yeah.
So you guys are working in conjunction with what we already have as we move forward to make sure that it all flows together, correct?
Yeah.
And I'd like to get with you and share some concerns. Because, Charlie, I think you and I both would want to make certain that the development company has some conversations with.
Well, I've got a lot of development going on in Precinct 2. We've got to make it all coordinate, make it all work together.
Boy,
absolutely.
No kidding, man.
But we're a year away if we start right now. So we got to get this going.
But we just need to.
That's one of the items in our scope is actually sitting down with county staff. So if y'all have got other entities we need to converse with and talk with, that's something we can include in those meetings. So to figure out what's the requirements, what are they seeing as far as the development, what would they like to see in the manual. And at the end, there's also time for review from other agencies. Jeff's coordinated with ACEC. Which is a group of engineers to help review it on behalf of the development community. So there'll be a lot of input opportunities from everybody.
And I even think it'd be beneficial to talk to our former county engineer.
You know, is the Commissioner Riley, is the 302, is that not to exceed, or what is that? Is that just what they're going to charge us
that's
to do it. This?
That's
okay.
Good
work.
I think it'd be a good idea to get a committee together, have everybody in the room so nobody's surprised at the end. Hey, I didn't know we were doing that.
I agree. We meant we're a stakeholder.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't want it so big that we got to keep this under control.
Sure.
I'll make a motion to approve it. Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. All right. Let's move forward. Precinct 3. Commissioner?
Yes, I'd like to call up our bond counsel and our investment advisor. As we normally go through this time of year, we try to identify opportunities through a disciplined and measured approach to monitoring and making changes where needed to our bond portfolio. And we've been able, as a court, since 2014 to work together and bring about $42 million in savings to the county taxpayers by just really monitoring the portfolio and taking advantage of opportunities where we can either defease debt or to refund. And we have not a big refunding opportunity, but an important one, especially when you take into consideration some changes that are happening to the BAB subsidy, and I'll let the experts handle it from here.
Thank you, Commissioner. Judge, Commissioners, John Roebuck, BOK Financial Securities, Marcus Dietz with ORIC, Harrington Sutcliffe,
welcome.
Bond Counsel.
Yeah.
Before you have a presentation for a refunding opportunity, we are bringing before you an opportunity to save some money by refinancing or refunding some existing debt for interest cost savings. If you'll turn to the first page of the presentation, this is the bond buyer index. This is the weekly average municipal rates. It's a good snapshot of where municipal rates are currently in the market across the country. We have been in a volatile market, as y'all seen probably your investment portfolios and also seen yields in the 10-year treasury, and the municipal market is no different. We've had some volatile days. Rates have come up a little bit since the lows, but we're still below the historical average of a 4.12. We're currently at a 3.44%. As a result, we can lock in some interest rates today on some existing bonds and lock in some savings. Next page, as Commissioner Nowak had presented, we've done, since 2014, saved about $42.4 million interest cost savings for taxpayers in the county by refundings or cash defeasances, paying off bonds. And then on the next page, it's a summary of the outstanding debt issuances and their call dates. Right now, you have about $375 million of bonds that are outstanding that can be callable before their maturity dates. And right now, within the next 3 years, about $68.7 million they could be called for interest cost savings. We are proposing about a $39.9 million refunding to generate interest cost savings today, and those can be refunded on 12-1 of 2022, 90 days before the call date. One of the issues is the 2010B certificates of obligation. They were issued as Build American bonds, which received a federal subsidy. Because of the American Rescue Act or Plan Act in 2021, they added $1.9 trillion to the deficit. As a result, if the federal government does not take action to approve the subsidies going forward, we may lose that. So pending outcome of what the federal government decides to do, we may or may not receive those federal subsidies going forward. And those subsidies equal about $3.8 million in the existing debt outstanding. And if you look at the next page, I'll show you those bonds on page 5. We're looking at getting about $36.9 million in bonds to refund. That is the 2010Bs and also a portion of the 2016As that can be called on December 1st, 2022. And then the following page is the estimated savings on the far right. We are projecting to save about $5.3 million in savings, or 11.33% present value savings. And again, that number compared to the $3.8 million of subsidy, it means you're going to receive more money in savings by locking in lower interest rates now and basically take that risk of the subsidy payments off the table. So to accomplish this, we're asking you to approve a parameter order on the next page, allowing us to move forward and get the documents going, subject also to Mark's review of the agreement with the state for the interest cost payments that the state provides to the mental health facility for these bonds. But we'll start working on the offering document, do rating calls, diligence calls, and then on Monday, November 1st, we'll sell the bonds, lock in the rates on that day, and then on Thursday, December 8th, close, and the funds will be used to pay off the existing bonds, and they'll be done with the transaction. I'll be happy to answer questions you have on the financing. Mr. Dietz, I'm sure, will be happy to answer questions you have on the parameter order we're asking you to approve today.
Yes. Voting in favor of this, we're not locking in right now, correct?
No, we're not locking in. We're allowing us to move forward, okay. And we'll have results in November.
But I would like for Marcus to speak on the BAB subsidy and the not with the mental health treatment facility that we operate with the state of Texas. Right now, there's an agreement with the state that they reimburse the county interest costs, that any interest that we expend on the facility is reimbursed by the state, and we want to make sure that that will continue, and that's what you're working on.
That's right. We're coordinating with the county attorney's office, and we're reviewing that document now. And if for whatever reason we didn't continue to receive that subsidy, the parameter order is authorization to do it, but as the judge mentioned, not a requirement to do it. So if that didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, we just wouldn't proceed with the transaction.
That's right. Or we would at least have a conversation about it, because there's still the differential between what we would save by refinancing, because those are taxable bonds with a higher higher interest rate. There would still be savings in it above and beyond what we'd be recouping
from the
BAB subsidy itself. So we'd have to make a decision at that point. But right now, all we're asking is for permission to start the process, move forward, and get an answer from the state.
Exactly right.
Correct, BD?
That's correct.
So I move.
All right. We have a motion. Is there a second? All right. Is there any more discussion? All right. All in favor?
Thank you, gentlemen, for coming. Appreciate
opposed?
It.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, guys. Thank appreciate you. It so much. Commissioner, item number 2.
And this also is going to be an executive session item.
Okay, move this to executive session. All right, Precinct 4, consider and take action on the tax abatement of Husteel America.
If you remember, this was deferred here recently. In just a moment, I'd like for Frank McGrady with East Montgomery County Improvement District to come up and say a few words. He's worked very hard, as well as myself, to get this brought about. Did you have something you want to touch on this, on the Husteel deal, BD, before Frank comes up? Kind of give a rundown on what we're proposing this time around, if you don't mind, please.
If you could tell us where we were and where we are now.
Sure. This is a request from Husteel America, Inc. for a tax abatement to construct a manufacturing facility on 35 acres over near Splendora. It's actually in two phases that would result in about $122 million worth of investment amount. Phase one is $66 million. Phase two is $56 million. What Husteel, and I probably will get this wrong, but what they do is manufacture particular types of tubing, which is used, and they have already acquired the property. I believe they acquired it a couple of years ago. This is going to be their first manufacturing facility in the United States. They also anticipate employing, I believe it's 110 people, or 101 people at this facility. 101 people full-time facility. This is facility is over new jobs. Again, it's located in East County. Phase one, the total investment is $84 million. That's the building plus the manufacturing components that are fixed to the building. We call them fixed personal. And that would be the part that is subject to the abatement. The land is not going to be subject to the abatement. Also, any increase in the land value is not going to be subject to the abatement. It's just the improvements to the land. And we have representatives both from the company and from East Montgomery County Improvement District here to speak on this.
Now, this was presented last time, BD. There was a 10-year. They were asking for a 10-year with no gradual downward motion. Same amount of people, same amount of capital investment.
Right. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. The proposal now is for a 5-year abatement, 100% abated for the first year being the year of construction. That's very common. I mean, almost all of our abatements have 100% for the year of construction. Sometimes it takes 2 years to construct. The estimate is 1 year to construct this property. So the first year is 100%, then reduces to 80, in the second year 60, the following year 40, and down to 20 in the last year of the proposed abatement.
When this was brought up last time, I have to be honest with you, I was, I want to say aggressive, but I was really opposed to the abatement. And since that time, they have brought to us something that those in the audience that came forward to speak brought up the issue of just blanket giving abatements. And what they've done is they've come and they've made an adjustment to work with us on this deal. And as I've looked at the company itself, it is their first company, by extension, a South Korean company, the Republic of South Korea. Their headquarters are in Seoul, and they take the steel and they turn it. In this particular plant, is going to be into seamless piping, and you have a huge facility that they're constructing. You've got the employment of these people. You have the employment of the people building the facility, and all ancillary businesses being affected by that kind of an operation going on. And that, in the immediate, whether or not they get partial abatement or whatever, these other businesses are going to take advantage of that. And as I've thought about it, and I've kind of, especially in light of what the citizen said, that if it just didn't always have to be just a full pop deal, is there any alternative we can offer here? And I think they've done that. And also, as I've looked at their vision, their mission statement, the culture, they're a family-owned business. Even though they are from South Korea, they're in Spain, they're in the UK, they are in Nigeria, they're in South Africa. highly successful, $550 million, netted $30 million last year out of that $550 million. It's a good company, family-oriented, and they also have a statement in there, in their overview of the whole this whole thing, about how they give back to the community, how they're community-oriented, and the values of the community. So, you know, I looked at this, and I have to be honest with you. I've gone a different direction on it. Wouldn't be a favor of it. I'm going to look for a motion here in a second, but we're discussing
it. Thank you, Judge, for your kind words. I move.
Yeah. All right, we have a motion, I'll second that.
And for to clarify, I would point out the manufacturing facility is a 253,000-square-foot facility,
right.
Manufacturing facility. I mentioned that before.
And we all don't want anybody to get, you know, we're all paying taxes. Everybody here in this room has got a house that's paying taxes.
What?
You know, we understand that. But the ancillary stuff that's going on and the support groups and companies and businesses that will be impacted by this in the immediate, as soon as they start, that will have a tremendous impact upon Splendora and the school district in terms of the taxing that will come in the immediate and the taxing that will come in the future, plus those other businesses.
$0 in the immediate.
Well, but we benefit as a county. We benefit
actually
from
county.
Well, we get
the county gets
land value.
The land value.
We get that now.
Plus any business, personal property, or any inventory taxes. The inventory is still going to be taxable. The business, personal property, which is not a lot of business, personal property, but the inventory will certainly be taxable. And then not only the land value, but the increase in the land value.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah, okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Any more discussion? All right. All in favor? Opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries. Thank you all very much. All right. Let's move into our executive session. We have a number of items to talk about in the executive session. So if you all be patient with us, we're going to go to the executive session, and it's going to be a few minutes before we're back. So thank you.
Under Articles 551.071 and 551.074. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Amy. All right. Thank you all for waiting. As we move forward on our agenda here, to come out of executive session, we'd like to entertain a motion having to do that we would ratify the staffing services contract with Angel Staffing for medical surge staff for county hospitals that was previously approved on 8/10/21 with an accompanying letter to the hospitals concerning audits.
Judge, I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed?
You know, I always have to say
motion carries.
I do want to say that.
There you go.
I do want to say something. I spoke to several different hospitals regarding this contract. And while we've all had some questions about it and it's been thoroughly discussed with the county attorney's office, sure. The hospitals are very pleased with the work of you and Jason and the court in bringing this particular agency, Angel Agency, to Montgomery County. We did what all the other counties wish they could have done, and that is actually bring in nurses. I think y'all brought in 130 nurses that are taking care of people right here in Montgomery County. I won't name other counties. I talked to other county judge. I talked to several people. When we passed this initially, they said, well, money's not the problem. You're not going to be able to find the nurses. You folks did. The two hospitals that I spoke with said that Angel Staffing made the difference, and so I'm not plugging Angel Staffing by any means. I'm just plugging the fact that you guys did a good job, so I'm very happy. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Judge and Jason and the rest of the team at Emergency Management.
Thank you all. Appreciate that
so
much.
And Darren, too, wherever
you are. Jason, well done.
Sorry.
And your team. All right. Are there any other items that we need to discuss? We have an opportunity for our citizens to make comment if there's anyone here that would like to make comments. If not,
well, got a gentleman back there.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Your business not doing this.
I put down my professional.
My
name is Frederick Senderman. I put my professional down. I also represent the Spring Creek Utility District. Our budget came out just like y'all worked on a budget, and my concern is SGRA. They don't seem to want to control their budget, and it's one of the highest increases in cost that we had to pass on to our people, and I know that you're having to pay for it across the board. And whatever we can do together with the commissioners to work together to get this situation stopped and get SJRA under a normal inflation rate, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. We appreciate it. All right, any other citizens? If there are none and there's no miscellaneous, then we have a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioner Riley, toll road. You have the floor, sir.
We're going to call the order of meeting to order of Montgomery County Toll Road Authority. Let it record show that everybody is present. Now is the time for any citizens that they'd like to comment on anything about the toll road. Now is your time. See anybody? We're going to consider and approve Montgomery County Toll Road Authority minutes from special session dated February the 9th, 2021.
Move.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. B is the same thing with the special session dated March the 30th, 2021.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? It does carry. C is consider and approve the award of project number 21-33 RFQ External Audit Services for Montgomery County Toll Road Authority.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. D, consider and accept the quarterly unaudited financial reports for the authority.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And E, consider and discuss to take appropriate action on the FY 2022 Montgomery County Toll Road Authority budget. Who wants?
Second.
Any questions, any comments, any discussion?
I read it.
All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second.
Aye.
Man.
We're done.
I never thought I'd say this.
Don't say another word.
Charlie,
I saw more eyes on you on the toll road.